Western Plains, out in the flat country, and I'm just watching this to see whether it'll work. And I was out on a property, 50,000 acres. The phone coverage wasn't too good, and to make sure that I kept up to date with any messages coming in, because I was technically on call for here, there was a disused windmill tower that a couple of times a day I would climb up, wait for the 3G to show up, wait for another few minutes for any messages to come down, and maybe while I was up there ring Chris and have a quick chat with her. And one of the messages I got was from a lady who's a little bit older than me that's been struggling with alcohol for a while. And I got this great message from her, very brief, just to say that she's on top of it, that she's made progress and she's beating it. That was well worth climbing the windmill tower for. The other thing that happened was that on Thursday morning, I got out of bed at 5:30 and I wandered outside and went for a bit of a walk. And it was one of those amazing sunrises, absolutely amazing, that went on for about half an hour. And because the land is so flat, you can literally see the curve of the earth. It's like being on the ocean. And just this gradual change in colour till this absolutely brilliant sunrise. And as I watched that, a couple of things happened. The first thing was that I actually thank God for the privilege of living in Australia, being free to be out there and to see this. And it was absolutely glorious. And I just thank God for his creation. It was one of those almost overwhelming moments. And then I had another thought that I actually felt quite sad about, and that was that people I know of who don't believe in God or don't know him actually don't have anybody to thank for the glory of a sunrise. There's nobody to thank. They just think it happened by accident. And it was just lovely to be able to see that and to thank God for his amazing artwork in that sunrise. Now, as I said, as Christians, I think we need reminding more than we need teaching. We need teaching, but I think we need reminding more than that. And a couple of weeks ago, David spoke about Psalm 1. What's the three actions in Psalm 1, verse 1? Anybody remember? There's a couple of nods. Walk, stand, sit. And when David was talking about that, it brought to mind a guy called Jimmy Johnson, and this is going to give my age away a little bit, who 41 years ago at Belgrave Heights at a YFC Youth for Christ happening. Anybody else happen to attend a Youth for Christ happening at Belgrave? Yes. Showing your age. And Jimmy Johnson was a guy from the States, and he told some stories that have helped me throughout my life. So this morning, this is a case of I'm going to pass on to you what was given to me. All right? Some of these stories have really, really helped me. But Jimmy had a bit of a sense of humour, and I think because it was a youth happening, and the place was full of hormone-charged young people, that he broke the ice with this little gem. He told this story. He said that a boy came round to visit his girlfriend, and when the boy arrived, her younger brother, went out the back, into the backyard, and climbed a tree. Now, as it happened, the girl and her boyfriend went out the back and happened to sit under the same tree. And as they're sitting there, the boyfriend, being a religious sort of guy, thinks, oh, I better pray. So he says, Father, Father, up above, can I kiss the one I love? And out of the tree came an instant reply, Sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go. 41 years, and I still remember that. Now, as I said, the context of this morning is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. When David quoted that verse a couple of weeks ago, I was reminded of something that happened a bit longer than 40 years ago, when I was sitting in Sunday school just down the road here at Yaleen Court and Jordan Street, down near High Street Road at Ashwood Gospel Chapel. And a guy who I thought was old, he was probably my age, and there's a few people chuckling at that, a guy I thought was really old, he was probably my age, spoke about Psalm 1. And he told us little kids about being careful about hanging around with people that weren't following God. And he spoke out of Psalm 1, verse 1. Now that stayed with me. And for you guys that are working with kids, let me encourage you. I'm 66, and I still remember that time in Sunday school. And it's helped me throughout my life, of just being warned of, be careful about walking with people who don't hang around with God. Be careful of the progress that happens, because you'll end up being far away from God accidentally, not deliberately, and you may even end up mocking God. And old Mr. Drayton, I know, knew that there was a progression, not from just starting off, I'm with God, to being mocking God, but there's these imperceptible steps in between that, where we tend to drift away. And that's what I've observed over my journey with God, as people who have started out with God haven't deliberately walked away, but have hung around with people who haven't worshipped God, and they've gradually moved away from God. And Mr. Drayton just very, very gently guided us in that way of saying, just be careful of that. Just be careful of that. Now, talking of walking with Jesus, Jimmy told another story. Jimmy Johnson told another story. He read the verse, back. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for my souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Jimmy realised that he didn't really know anything about oxen or yokes. So he thought, maybe it'd be good to go and learn about that. And this happened in the southern states in America. So he went down and he found a couple of old guys who were still working with oxen. And he said to them, look, I want to learn about oxen and yoke and, you know, etc. Can you tell me, what do you do? And they said, if we can have the next one on, you'll notice the yoke goes between the two oxen at the front there. And these two old guys said, look, there's a couple of things. One is, we know each animal by name and we call them by name. And Jimmy said, that's what Jesus does with us. He knows us by name and he calls us by name. And then these guys said, you know, we hand fit our yoke to each beast. The yokes are made of wood, and we actually carve the cutout in the yoke to match the neck of each beast, so that it's as comfortable as it can be for the beast. And then he said, you know what else we do? When we get a young bullock that we want to train, we yoke him up with the biggest, oldest beast that we've got. Now he said, typically what happens is the young fella goes, don't like this, I want to be out of here. So he pushes as hard as he can. And he pushes and he pushes and he's pushing into the yoke and he keeps pushing. And the big old experienced beast just keeps plodding along at the same pace. And he's got the bulk, so he holds the yoke. And the little fella pushes in and he tries to push ahead and it rubs his shoulders raw. And he gets sore. And then eventually the young beast goes, "Ah, that's not working." So he backs off. And sometimes, they said, he'll even try and stop. So he just props. "I'm not doing this anymore." And the big old fella next to him, the big bullock, he just keeps plodding along at the same rate. What happens to the young bullock? Nearly gets his head ripped off because the old fella just keeps walking. And he just pulls him, and eventually, they said, the young bullock realises that the place to walk is shoulder to shoulder with the big bullock next to him. And Jimmy made the comment that for us, that's the same with us and Jesus, if we are yoked with Jesus. The most comfortable, most productive place we can walk with Jesus is not pushing ahead of him, not dragging our feet behind him, but walking shoulder to shoulder with him. And something I've discovered over the years is that if I'm walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, I don't have that tendency to drift away from God, to sit in the council of sinners, etc., etc., like Psalm 1 says. As Mr. Drayton said, and Jimmy said at the conference to that whole lot of teenagers, and David said a few weeks ago, we don't go straight from being obedient to God to being disobedient. That happens in little steps, a little bit at a time. I work with drug addicts a couple of times a month, and one of the things I've noticed there is that the people that are using ice and trying to get off ice didn't wake up one morning and go, "Gee, I want to have a go at ice. I want to try it. I think that'd be a really good idea. Wow, let's go out and I'll go and buy some ice and get a pipe and have a crack at that." It doesn't work like that. What happens is that they've started off with drinking a bit too much alcohol. Now, alcohol's a legal drug. Nothing wrong with that as per se. But they start using a bit much of that. They like the feeling it gives them, and they keep using that. Then they hang around with people that are using drugs, and they start off with the softer street drugs, usually. And then finally they end up sitting down with somebody that's using ice, person offers them ice, and they start using. And they become very different people. That happened increment by increment. It didn't happen overnight. Wasn't a choice they deliberately made. It happened by accident. Something else I observed back when I was working in the motor trade was people that had affairs with their co-workers. I don't know anybody that got out of bed one morning and thought, "I'm going to cheat on the missus." Don't know of anybody that did that. Well, actually, I do know of one guy, but he was the unusual one. What I observed was people in legitimate relationships, in work relationships, for instance, the sales manager with the finance manager, starting out in absolutely legitimate and correct relationships. But for one or both, things are a bit rocky at home. And they start talking about what's going on at home or what's not going on at home. And they start to form an emotional bond. And then before they know it, they've committed a full-blown affair, they've destroyed their marriage, and they wonder how they got there. Again, that didn't happen with somebody going from this point to this point over here. It happened little bit by little bit. Now, they're two pretty drastic examples of the way this works. But that's what happens to us. We don't set out to end up far away from God. or the people that I know that I've observed that happen to haven't deliberately done that. It's happened by accident. They've hung around with people that haven't been following Jesus. They've gradually drifted off. One of the best ways that I know of stopping that happening is to walk shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, making sure that I've stayed yoked to Jesus. We can do that simply by stopping and thinking about what Jesus has done for us. I think that's why Jesus gave us communion, is to remind us what he's done for us. It's not a one-off thing that we do once in our life. We're meant to do it often, regularly, and it's an act of remembrance to remind us of what God has done for us. We can do it. We can stay yoked to Jesus by reading this. This is a collection of different people's encounter with God and their experience of God. They're people just like us. We can read that and learn from their experiences and stay yoked with Jesus in that way. Another way that we can stay yoked with Jesus is simply listening to our conscience. You know, when you want to do something you know that's wrong, and we do stuff that's wrong because it's fun, otherwise we wouldn't want to do it. That little voice in the back of your head that says, no, don't do it. And you go, oh, but it's fun. Listen to the little voice in the back of your head. That's your God-given conscience saying, don't do it. That's another way of staying yoked to Jesus. As I said, we sin because it's fun. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I commit a sin, it's usually because it's something fun. And I don't want to confuse having fun with being sinful. I love having good fun. But the reason that we commit a sin, I think, is because it's fun to do it. Might end up killing us, but it's fun in the process. Jimmy told another story that has... I've often referred to this story over my life. And one of the reasons he told this story is because of the verse where we're told that the wages of sin is death. Jimmy spoke about a policeman. True story, happened in the southern states of America. Copper driving down the road, sees a young boy with a fishing pole. Hanging off the fishing pole, some very big fish. Now the policeman was a fisherman. So he stops his car, turns round, says to the lad, do you want a lift? Do you want me to give you a ride home? And the boy goes, yeah, that'd be great. So puts his fish in the boot, hops in the front of the car, and starts heading for home. So the policeman, being a fisherman, goes, hey, where did you catch the fish from? And the boy goes, oh, look, I was just down on the log, that big log, you know, the one that sticks out into the river. I was down there fishing. And the policeman goes, wow, he said, I've fished there often, but I've never caught anything. Here comes a David pun, just giving you a heads up. So the copper then, being a fisherman, fishes around for the bait that he's using. Thank you. The little boy goes, you know, that's really funny you ask about that, because this morning under some rubbish I found some really big fat worms. And as he said it, he put his hand up and he indicated how fat these worms were. And the policeman saw the little boy's hands and he saw how fat the worms were, but he also saw on the lad's hands these little red marks. And he also noticed that the little boy's hands were swelling. Slowed the car down, U-turn, floored it, raced to the hospital, didn't get there in time, and the little boy died. Because you see, what was in the bucket weren't earthworms, they were baby rattlesnakes. Now I want you to just come back a little bit. I want you to imagine being with that boy, right? He's got his bucket, got his rod down on the river, baits up, throws it in, and bang, he's got a big bass on it. Pulls that in. Man, that feels good. Pulls it in, takes it off, hand in the bucket, gets a bit of a nip, goes, ouch, that hurts. Puts it on, throws it in, bang, he's got another one. Never caught fish like this before. Wow, that feels good. Pulls it in, takes it off, hand in the bucket, ooh, that hurt, but back on, another fish. You know, we can be like that little boy. We can go back and stick our hand in the bucket, but the bucket that we're sticking our hand in hasn't got snakes in it. It's a bucket of sin. And when we stick our hand in, it might hurt a little bit, but man, this feels good. This is fun. I'll keep doing it. And we keep doing it, but eventually, as God has said, that the wages of sin is death. And sin does bring death into our lives. Over the last 40 odd years, I've remembered that story often. Usually at the point where I've been tempted to do something that is fun, but I know God doesn't want me to do. I've actually remembered it. Gee, I'm tempted to do this. Hang on. That's sticking my hand back in the bucket. End up, consequence of that is that's going to bring death into my life. Maybe that's not a good idea, Lindsay. Maybe I should go back to Jesus. That's how that story has literally saved me from doing some pretty stupid stuff that would have destroyed my life. It has literally stopped me doing that. I'm so thankful for Jimmy for telling me that story in amongst a whole bunch of hundreds of other kids way back then, because that changed my life. That being yoked to Jesus, the same thing, at different times has come up, and that has changed my life. As I said, we stick our hand in the bucket because it's fun. But I'm going to invite you this morning that if you're sticking your hand in the bucket and you know it's wrong, I'm going to invite you to make a decision. That decision is to go, no, not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stop. That's against what God wants. Now, I'm not talking about anything airy-fairy. I'm talking very specific. When the Holy Spirit brings conviction on you, certainly with me, it's about time, place and behaviour. I know the time that I did the wrong thing, I know the place that I did the wrong thing, and I know the behaviour that was wrong. Very specific. God doesn't muck around with that stuff. And if you've got stuff in your life where you know, hey, you know, Lindsay, yeah, you're right, there's this that I'm doing that I know is wrong, and I know I should stop. Well, I'd invite you simply to make a decision this morning. Yep, I'm going to stop. Now, there's some things where we know we need to stop that we can just make the decision and we can stop. But there's other things and I'm just using addiction as an example. There's other things that we might need help with. And if you recognise that, yeah, look, I've been fighting this and I'm not winning, then I'd invite you to get some help. We're all in this together. We're all turkeys that do dumb things. We're all in the same boat. You might say, oh, Lindsay, you don't know my sin. And I'd say to you, well, you don't know mine. God is big enough to get you out of where you are. But sometimes we need to have help with that. So sometimes that might be professional help. So if, for instance, and I'm just using addiction because it's a really easy one to work with, as an example, if you're in addiction and you need help, get some help. Ask people, find help for that. Don't do it by yourself. If you're in a place where you're, I don't know, in a relationship that you know is heading in the wrong direction, and you need to put some boundaries up, but you don't feel like you've got the strength to do that, talk to somebody about it. Get them to hold you accountable for that. Don't just let it drift on. Do be proactive about that. If there's anything else in your life that you know that you're doing that God doesn't want you to do, and you haven't been able to beat it by yourself, get people around you to help you with that. As I said, we're all in the same boat together. There is no shame in going to somebody and saying, hey, look, I've got this thing in my life that I just can't quite overcome. I know it's not what God wants. Can you help me with this? And that might be just that, hey, look, will you pray for me with this? It might be forming an accountability partnership or something like that. But I really just want to encourage you this morning. Don't just let it roll on. Deal with it. I asked them to leave this photo up deliberately at the end. Notice the load that's on the back of that. It's a reasonable sort of load on the back of that. What I've discovered also is that when you're walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, like those bullocks are walking shoulder to shoulder, it's amazing what can happen. When you're walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, it is literally amazing what can happen. There are lots of stories from people who have walked shoulder to shoulder with Jesus and they go, hey, you know, this thing has happened in my life, or I've done this that I never ever thought would happen. And other people have been blessed, lives have been changed, whatever, because I was walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. And I'd encourage you this morning just to make sure that you're walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. And if you don't know how to do that, talk to somebody that you recognise is. Find out how they do it. Let me pray. Father God, I'm just very aware this morning that talked a whole lot about sin. And Father, we're just a bunch of ordinary people trying to walk with you. And sometimes we blow that, and we blow it badly. And for those times, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you don't want to condemn us, but you want to save us, you want to rescue us, you want to forgive us. And so, Father, I just want to stand with my brothers and sisters. And we want to come to you. And anything in our lives, Lord, that we know is not pleasing to you, Father, we want to give up. We want to turn away from. And, Father, anybody here that's struggling with that, Holy Spirit, I invite you to empower them to overcome whatever it is that they're trying to deal with. Jesus came to set the captives free. And so, Father, we ask that here this morning, that any of us that are captive to sin would be set free and that we would walk in the power of your Spirit. And I pray this in the authority of Jesus. Amen.